Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day, Monday of February 2024. Wow. And tonight we have as our producer, none other than that old pro, Kenny. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm hanging in here. Just kind of hanging around pretending like I'm an old man.
Keep pretending.
Yeah. Oh, well, and speaking of old men, I mean old men, way out yonder in Missouri, we have the legendary Pastor Parson Joe Larson.
You mean another old man. We make a good team. Together we have a couple of generations of knowledge.
Right. Hey, that's right. We do. Okay. Let's pick it up. Do you remember the title of the message this week?
Well, it's something like, do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? And do you know what I know?
You're exactly right. That's the title. And we're going to start tonight in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Read verses 20 and 21, Joe, and then pause.
20 and 21. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying,
right now, it's an interesting thing because all through Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a wise and virtuous kinswoman or a mother, okay? And it's an interesting thing, too, here because it's also, we see, a wise mother in Israel is also clearly speaking of as and as God himself. It's referring to that God's word and God's instructions are personified as if they're coming from a wise Israeli woman or a mother or a kinswoman. But the interesting thing, too, now, if you read over in Proverbs 2 and verse 16, we read this, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger that flattereth with her words. So those, the wicked women, okay, the prostitutes, the whores, and the wicked women are referred to as the strange women or the wicked women, conferred to the wise woman or the kinswoman here.
So what's interesting, they both, the wise one is calling people to come come to her and learn. And the wicked women are calling, come to me and indulge in my sin.
Yeah.
You know, come to me and let me lead you where you shouldn't go. So it's a diametrically opposed concept, righteousness and evil, right? The eternal
yeah.
battle.
Absolutely. And so go ahead and pick it up there in verse 22.
How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?
All right, boy, that's a lot in that verse, isn't there?
I was just going to say there's a lot there, because this whole thing is about three kinds of people. The simple ones who need to be taught, who are not wise at all. The scorners who just are always, you know, no, I don't agree, I don't believe, I don't want to know. And the fools that just hate knowledge and just want to go their own way, don't want to know anything.
So now, all of those are referred to as the simple ones here. Now, today, what word is it that they use today to describe the simple words, the simple ones? We have a word they call today. It's called simpletons. Simpletons.
Simpletons, yeah.
That's
or also the uneducated, I guess you could say, because sometimes they're just not educated.
Yeah, and well, that's those are the fools that hate knowledge. And when you refer to simple-minded, see, there's a difference between ignorant and stupid. Ignorant
right.
is simply, ignorance, a lack of knowledge, a lack of information. Stupid is having the information, but not putting it to practical application. In other words, ignoring, you know, what you're supposed to do with the knowledge that you have. And so, and this is what who he's referring to here. He's referring
well,
to exactly.
Fools, aren't the fools also the dull, the morally dull people, the ones who don't want to hear about morals? They may have some knowledge, but they want their sin. They
well,
don't want to know about morals.
The fools are the ones that have no fear of God.
They don't, yes.
Okay, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Fear of God.
Right.
So it's the opposite. Yeah, no fear of God.
Right. And so here he goes on and he says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. So he's simply saying repent, isn't he?
Right.
Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But let's go back here to verse 20, though. We really passed a lot of stuff up because he says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She cried in the chief place of concourse and the openings of the gates. So there's three areas that he's talking about here in society, in the marketplace, and in government. He is saying that wisdom's voice needs to be heard, or is crying out. Who was it that was crying out there? He's referring specifically to who?
Well, wisdom is the one that's crying out. It's God's word that's crying out.
Yeah, but it's crying up, though. But who is the one? He's referring to the prophets, and King David too was a prophet and a preacher.
Right.
So,
okay.
So,
I
so
see what you're going, where you're going. Yeah.
Right, and of course Solomon also was when the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. A lot of what if you start in verse 1. When it talks about the Proverbs of Solomon, a lot of this is what was said by the king to his son, okay? And so here you go, and he says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But now, when he said he stretched out his hands, it's got two applications there. The one application is instruction, but the other application is judgment, huh? And he said, but you have said it not.
I think there's three, because when somebody reaches out a hand, it's normally a hand of, let me help you up, let me help you, I give you my hand. So I think there are three applications. It's judgment, but he's also reaching out a hand, let me lift you up.
Well, mostly all through here where he says, and my hand is stretched out still, and my hand is stretched out still. In fact, if you go over to Psalm number 5, when he's referring to those, the rebellious ones, and he's brought his judgment on them, a harsh judgment, and they have still refused to repent. And that's where he says, my hand.
Right, yeah.
So mostly through Scripture where he says, my hand is stretched out still, it's judgment here. But he goes on and he says, I also will laugh at your calamity and will mock when your fear cometh. There's several places in Scripture where God is laughing at the foolishness of men. When they're challenging him over in Isaiah 66, he makes a mockery. He also does it in Ezekiel 28 with where the king there who had decided himself that he was a god, and God is having some fun with him and with some sarcasm, some humor. Yeah. And here and he kind of had a little bit of humor with Nebuchadnezzar too, when Nebuchadnezzar forgot to give God the credit for all that had been built in Babylon, and decided
something about grass, eating grass, and
he kind of had a little bit of humor there with Jonah too, a little sarcasm with Jonah. But anyhow, he says, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, if you hear that from God, should you be concerned?
I would be extremely concerned. That'd be about the time you should be repenting, being on your knees and begging forgiveness and going, I think I've been doing something terribly wrong here. But they weren't. They didn't. They did not really believe the fear. They didn't believe the judgment would affect them.
But when the judge
came to denial until it comes.
Until it came, and then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Here's where the fool comes in, okay? So they would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away.
Can I interrupt? Is that kind of like you've made your own bed and I'll lie in it type of thing?
Yeah.
I always thought it just in a practical sense, that's what he's telling them. You know, you ate this stuff, if it made you sick, if you're ill, vomiting, you ate the food, you shouldn't have, and you didn't, you know, so you will be filled with all the pain you caused, all the stupidity, it'll all come back on you.
So here he says, it's funny because in verse 32, he says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And then in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. And so he's making a point. Look, when I offered you wisdom, I offered you to pour out my spirit. And the turning away in verse 32, for the turning away of the simple, shall slay them. And it's in other words, they brought on their own destruction.
Well, the wages of sin are death, right?
Right. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. How is that? Why would the prosperity of fools, the wealthy today, when you have these prosperity preachers and all, you know, they all they can think about is money, money, money. Why is it that great wealth often has a tendency to turn people away from God?
I'm just wondering, I know it seems like so many of the really wealthy turn liberal. As they get rich, they turn liberal. They turn away from God. It's almost like they, you know, end up feeling either totally superior, but somewhere down deep inside, it's almost like they don't think they deserve it. It's almost like there's a very confused person in a rich man.
So it's they depend upon their own wealth, okay, and prosperity.
Instead of God, they're trusting in their money to buy whatever they need rather than trusting in God.
So if they trust in their money and their ability and their positions and power, then they don't have to submit to God's laws, God's statutes, God's covenants, and to any judgment. So the idea is if they just don't submit, if they don't even acknowledge God, they won't have to worry about being judged by God. But
that's a classic case of denial, because we know that money cannot buy heaven. Scripture made it very plain that all the money in the world can't buy you 1 second of, you know, out of hell. So they're just delusional.
Well, in their mindset, if we don't believe there is a hell, the hell can't exist. If we don't acknowledge hell.
Right.
But whoso hearketh unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. So here now today, I have some commentary that I want to hit. So today we see that the vast majority of our university students, it seems like they're majoring in simple-minded stupidity 101. The cancel culture has had on their list of priorities to cancel one, free speech. Just today we were looking at that again. They, on the college campuses, they want to deny Christians or conservatives free speech. You can't have your own free speech. You can't have your own opinions. They've turned into a bunch of communist control freaks.
Well, not just at school. The headlines today, 4 comedians canceled from Seattle Comedy Club after complaints from local progressives.
Yeah,
and they're going to refund tickets to people who bought the refund money to guests that bought tickets because they had to hear a conservative. So
wow.
It just gives you they're everywhere in society. The colleges, universities, they're in Head Start. They're everywhere.
Okay, so the people that are canceled the most and the people that are demonized the most today are white Christian men. They're called Christian. The left, the Communist Party, is referring to them as Christian nationalists today.
Ah, okay.
And so the other thing that they want to totally cancel out is the sanctity of life. They don't want the sanctity of life. They hate God and they love death. They love death and they hate God. And this is the entire Democratic Communist Party.
That's it. You notice how many names we've been called since we started this years ago? They've had so many different names for us. We've been called pretty much everything under the sun.
And then you have the divine institution of marriage and the family. Right now they've canceled. They've been working on to get legislation. They want to get government not to recognize the divine institution of marriage and the family. They don't want that to be recognized anymore by the government. In other words, they don't like the certain words, and spouses is one of the words they don't like. Husband or wife, they want to cancel. But the left wants to cancel, and it's a funny thing, because at the same time they want to cancel the divine institution of marriage and the family, they want to fight for sodomite marriage, which is not marriage at all.
Exactly. I was going to say, this is where the hypocrisy comes in. they want the very thing that they want to deny us from having.
Yep.
And that's the way evil is. It's confusion. God calls it confusion, right? Well, that's pretty confusing when you fight for the right to have a sodomite marriage, and then once you get the sodomite marriage, you want to turn around and what? Destroy the sanctity of marriage.
And see, but in reality, there is no such thing as a sodomite marriage.
True.
Because God gave us the institution and the definition. See, God's already ruled. Here's what marriage is. So what they call marriage, he calls fornication. So he's referring to it as fornication or an abomination or an unclean act. And that's what and he's referring to those as unclean. The sodomites is unclean. And so here now, it goes to the natural reality of only two genders. They want to cancel genders. They want to, they don't want to have two genders or any genders. They think they can cancel.
Again, that makes what they're doing with the multiple. Everything they do, they want to destroy. It goes back to the Sodomite Manifesto. The first plank was free and unfettered abortions. Well, sodomite men do not need abortions, but they had to have the sin. Again, everything is about once society accepts a certain sin, then everything else is accepted, and it's all about making sure if they destroy all these institutions like family marriage, then all their sin and infidelity, there's nothing to judge anymore because we've given it all up.
And then you go with, they want to get rid of pronouns. We mentioned husband and wife. They want to do away with husband and wife.
They wanted father and mother.
And spouse, okay? And so here, they want to do away with words male, female. They want to cancel he, she, him, her. But why? Why do they want to do this? For what reason is there for such delusion? Why is it that their number one campaign issue is the killing of the unborn? The answers to all of this is found right there in the latest quest to cancel. They love death because they hate God. They hate God, right, even more than they hate Donald Trump. In their latest outburst of lunacy, they are now calling for the canceling of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus had something to say about
that. The hate book, they've got to cancel the hate book because that's the book that convicts them of their sin.
All right. By the way, I made the latest communist newsletter out here, the anti-Trump journal thing. These are from left wing, the religion of the left, and they named me in there too. They said that I have to quit being, can't use the mean tactics of me, that I'm a mean person because I won't accept LGBTQ. I don't know. And
you mean person trying to keep people from going to hell. How horrible. Yeah. How could you love people enough to try and keep them out of hell, Pastor Ernie? I mean, boy, of all the sick things I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know. But remember, they refer to our preaching as hate speech.
Right.
When you preach against sin. And it's a funny thing, too. Remember in the days of old, when there was a Democratic Party, every now and then, I remember back in the old days where when we had to pass some bill, some pro-life legislation, actually, there were several Democrats that would cross the aisle and vote with us. And so there was some that had some morals, they had some values. And
they were called Blue Dog Democrats in those days, right?
Right. Today, that's not the case at all, Joe. They're in lockstep. they will always, they have to, if it's a sin, if it's a real sin, they have to support it. Anything in total opposition to what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. Hang tight. We'll be back after this.
Feels so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared. Will I go to heaven, or as I fear, below? I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He has risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen.
Boy, you bet he is risen. He is risen, and that means you and I can rise too, those of us that have
Amen.
Called on the name.
The Lord is risen indeed, which means we follow him, right?
Amen. You got it. Hey, Joe, guess what? On March 8th and 9th, coming up at the Embassy Suites there on Independence, right down the street from where I broadcast out of the Salem building there, is going to be the Bringing America Back to Life conference. And it's the biggest one, the biggest pro-life gathering in the United States every year. And they always have speakers from all over the country. I will be there on the Friday, the 8th, and meeting and greeting people. And I got some business meetings because I'm involved with a number of the pro-life organizations. And so, but there's going to be a lot of people there. My good friend Mark Hauke will be there. And Mark Harrington will be there. Mark's got a real strong pro-life organization using the young people. Molly Smith, who you hear, she comes out just before me here in the Ohio market. She will be there. She usually organizes this whole thing. And Artur Pulaski, remember Artur, the pastor from the Polish pastor from Canada, the freedom fighter, prosecuted by the Canadian government for feeding the homeless and holding church services. He was with us about 2 weeks ago. He's going to be there. And so it's really, they have, I mean, all day long, from 8 in the morning until about, I think it goes on to about 6 at night, both days. They have speakers and workshops. Anyhow, folks, to find out more about it and to get registered for this, you got to go to bringingamericabacktolife.org, bringingamericabacktolife.org, and you can find out a lot more, get all the information you need, and get registered. There you go. And so, Joe, horrifying period. Lawmakers demand justice for the DC 5. And this is live action news. On Wednesday, February 14th, representatives from the anti-abortion or pro-life uprising, the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, Concerned Women for America, Legislative Action Committee, and Students for Life will be joined by Congressional Representative Chip Roy, Andy Biggs, Bob Good, Pat Fallon, Chris Smith, Anna Paluna, Luna, at a press conference in Washington, D.C. The press conference discussed the current status of reasons for organized efforts to secure justice for the five children aborted at the advanced gestational ages who were recovered by Lauren Hanney and Teresa Bokovenik outside the bloody, bloody, bloody surgery, what they call clinic. According to medical experts, the bodies of these five babies, these five little children, were given the names Christopher, Harriet, Angel, Holly, and Phoenix by the activists who found them, may present evidence that the federal crimes have been committed by the bloody. Oh, this guy is like, oh, man, he's a beast. He's an animal. Caesar Santangelo, Caesar Santangelo, the bloody, bloody child molesting, baby raping abortionist who killed him.
Term abortions. They were killed after that was not legal to do so, right?
Right, but you see, no abortion is lawful. There's a difference between what is legal and what's lawful.
Right.
And guess what? Lawful comes first, has priority.
Lawful does first, but there can go after them in this right now in this world for doing something that was illegal according to federal law.
Right. Representative Chip Roy was the first to speak at the press conference. He emphasized that we have laws on the books which prohibit barbaric practices. And by the way, do you know who tried to cover this up? The completely corrupt, and I mean completely, totally corrupt, the DOJ.
Right, because they were going to withhold some evidence. They were going to not let anybody examine the bodies. They wanted the bodies destroyed.
Right.
Destroy the evidence, right?
Yep. Completely and totally corrupt. Completely corrupt. They are. We go on. Representative Bob Good spoke, and he said, the very law enforcement task with protecting the most vulnerable in our society has become complicit in covering up the cold-blooded murder of these precious babies. He said, we're calling for transparency about how these babies were killed. He's talking about the corrupt FBI, the corrupt DOJ.
Yep, he sure is.
I mean, Merrick Garland over there is completely corrupt. We've tried to find anything that he's done that's been good. We can't find anything. And to see him and Chris Ray and Mariokas and others sit there and lie knowing, under oath, violating the laws, like setting the message, we're above the law. We are above the law. Unbelievable.
Well, like I said, they're trying to tell the world that the federal law was broken right there in D.C. and the DOJ. Well, that's what, they committed malpractice trying to hide evidence. We would call that in any other court. That would be malpractice, right, destroying evidence.
Yep.
Because the prosecution is by law required to what? Divulge what they know and put out the truth. So they're guilty on just every count here.
Well, by the way, speaking of lying under oath, you remember John Brennan?
Oh, yes.
Well,
he's one of those that repeatedly lied under oath.
He certainly did. Former CIA crook. What a crook. Do you know what he's doing now? Remember what he was a big part of, the Russia hoax? He's right now, Brennan and the deep state, they are conspiring. They are worried, and right now they're conspiring. They actually come out and said that they will find ways. They've got to find ways to, if Trump gets reelected, to limit his power, that they have to, yeah.
Yeah, and, well, of course they would. They're very much afraid that when the truth starts coming out, what are they going to do?
Well,
they
right.
They could be tried for all kinds of offenses, right?
Once we have it.
The Congress lying under oath, I mean, they've broken a lot of laws they could be charged with.
And but we haven't had a Justice Department to charge them. Once, I think what Trump is doing is he's putting together a panel, and on that panel to look and to vet, and he knows a lot more now than he did before when he was in there. So, and they're looking to vet the people that are not deep state, hideouts. I mean, people out there that are legitimate. He got betrayed everywhere he turned. He took a knife in the back from the corrupt people
well,
out there.
He can see watching channels like Newsmax and who they bring in, for their guests to point out what the communists are doing. You can see some of the people are really willing to stand up and speak the truth. So he's been able to have a good lineup of people he can bring in that he can trust. If they've been risking telling the truth and risking the FBI and all the problems that come with speaking out, he knows who's on his side this time.
Well, we know who's still not on his side and not on our side, and that's a fellow named Mike Pence.
Yeah.
And do you know what Mike Pence has been up to lately?
Well, he's got some kind of Christian thing he's promoting. I think it's like a penitence or trying to draw attention away from his politics.
He's spending $20 million to fight the GOP's turn to populism.
I thought it was all about fighting morality. Interesting how different articles tell different stories, right?
This is an article from the Gateway Pundit, and it says, is Pence planning to throw another election? Turncoat Mike Pence was in the news again after announcing he was spending $20 million to fight the Republican Party's turn to populism. Mike Pence made the announcement to slow down President Trump. Once again, they refer to him as Dirty Mike, these people. Pence was doing the will of the D.C. elites and the Democrats trying to hurt Donald Trump and the country. So Trump, no matter where he was, he had it right next to him everywhere he went. He had treason, didn't he? They got to him.
Yeah.
Pence is most famous for misleading 75 million Trump voters into thinking he had the courage to challenge the suspected 2020 election results in the six battleground states. Let's look at this because, here, this says Pence lied about this and folded like a lawn chair after his actions. Riots broke out on the Capitol Hill on January 6, 2021. after police started firing rubber bullets, gas canisters, and smoke bombs on the Trump protesters outside. Now, let's look at this here, because we've had people that actually called it on this radio program that said Mike Pence had no other recourse under the Constitution than to do what he did. What does Joe say about that?
I say he had quite a big choice. Well, you just said what one article. Here's the headline in right now. Pence launching $20 million effort to defend conservative principles. It sounds like a totally different person doing a totally different thing. And if you look at what they'd written in Rear Clear Wire, it sounded like he was coming out pushing, you know, Christian conservatism. And he said it's bigger than any one-moment election or person. So it's real interesting. Truth all depends on who you're looking at to give you the story, right?
Right. Well, let me ask you this. I want to go back and ask the same question. Now, he claims that, and he says, look, he said there was somebody else lost an election, too. That was him. In other words, he was saying he lost his election because he was still running for vice president again. And so now here he is saying he had no choice under the Constitution than to do what he did. So I'll ask you some questions. Was President Trump still the President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief on January 6th?
Yes.
Okay, now, did President Trump not, did he not tell Mike Pence, Mike, do the right thing, Mike. You know what you have to do. Your job out there is to make sure before you certify that election, you have to look at any evidence that is brought before you, any evidence that there was election fraud. Out there standing in front of him with piles of information in their hands was your own senator, Holly. You had Jim Jordan from Ohio. You had a number of congressmen and senators standing there, and they were telling them.
Witnesses. They had other witnesses with them.
Right. So Mike Pence's job was to make sure that this election was legitimate. His president, his commander-in-chief, gave him a direct order to do just that. Okay? And that, as commander-in-chief, it was President Trump's duty to protect the votes of the people out there that voted this election, to make sure that
exactly.
The election was...
That is their duty, to protect what? The voters. And
exactly.
If it looks like there's proof, that according to the con, they're supposed to be able to show it before they certify. I mean... It's very plain. If there are people standing up and saying, wait a minute, we can test, they are supposed to be heard.
Absolutely. And Mike, when Mike did what he did, he took a... I'm going to tell you, I don't know. He betrayed us all. And the other thing was that what I noticed was when he did that, Nasty Pelosi handed him something, and he was smiling. This is not good. And
Nasty Pelosi smiling, I panic. It means something really bad is happening.
Yeah.
Bad for us. Bad for the country. Bad for conservatives. Bad for Christians. Bad for the Constitution. But other than that, it might be a good idea.
Yeah. All righty. Oh, armed FBI agents raid the home of a decorated veteran over January 6th. His wife miscarries their child. Chris Cohane was sentenced on Friday for his actions on January 6th, 2021, at the U.S. Capitol. Chris is a 22-year veteran.
Yeah.
Who received numerous medals and awards, including the Purple Heart, Navy Commendation Medal with Valor, and the Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal with Valor for actions in combat. Okay. You go ahead. I know you want to finish it.
Oh, this one of those guys, he sacrificed, and the story is, his own blood, sweat, and tears serving the country. And what he did, Chris went inside the Capitol that day, but he wasn't there to cause harm. In fact, he was caught cleaning trash off the floor, helped to stop the theft of some government property, told people, no, you can't take anything, and asked people to leave the building. They were starting to get out of line, told them to leave, and even went up and asked Capitol police officers how he could help. And then the sneaky thing was he was also set up by an FBI operative that day. So here's a man that did nothing wrong, didn't commit any violence. And what they did, and this is what gets me, on the morning of February 11th, 2021, Chris and his four-year-old child, his pregnant wife, Annette, they were awakened to sirens, cell phones ringing, bright lights going off through the windows. Annette later talked about it. The FBI instructed to Chris to come outside. Our four-year-old was awakened from the chaos. I picked him up and ran downstairs to open the door. Our house street and neighbor streets were completely, get this, our house street and neighboring streets completely surrounded by armed FBI law enforcement. It was a scene out of a movie. There were three large armored tactical vehicles, you know, tactical armored vehicles in the front yard, backyard, police vehicles up and down the entire community. And there were about 20 FBI SWAT team members with automatic rifles pointed at my son and I. We were covered with bright red lasers pointed at our faces, chests, and all over our bodies. They terrorized the young family that morning, you know, lit up a little four-year-old boy and mother with lasers. I mean, come on. Armored tactical vehicles for one man pointing automatic weapons at a pregnant woman and a four-year-old boy. My God, this is not America, folks. This is a communist country. This is the way the communists do it. This is the way cowards do it. In the old days, if somebody had to be arrested, they would have sent maybe two agents to the door, asked the man to come outside, keep your family in. You know, this is an abomination. This should just make every American sick to their stomach. I mean, dozens of police cars, armored vehicles, 20 armed men in SWAT gear to arrest one man and his, you know, with a family. I am sick over what this country's become. And if you're not sick over this country, sick to your stomach, sick to your heart, there is something wrong, terribly, terribly wrong. And anyway, she was forced outside barefoot in February in Kansas. It was cold. They kept her out there for a long, long time. The next morning, she miscarried their baby. He was given 75 days in prison, then home detention for 60 days, 2 years probation, and nobody seemed to want to be responsible for the death of that baby. They kept a pregnant woman barefoot in very cold temperatures. That, in a way, they would call it what, manslaughter, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, I would call that. I would call
manslaughter. They put them all in jail.
I would call Chris Ray a real coward. You know, I mean, that is a real low-down cowardly thing. Yeah. A real low-down cowardly thing to do, huh?
Exactly. And also the article ends, for the record, Chris was set up by an FBI operative who was embedded in the Kansas City group he belonged to long before January 6th. FBI is guilty, guilty, guilty. These people should be in jail. Chris, not the one, should be in jail. It should be the FBI people that ordered this hit. This was a hit. This was, I mean, the amount of force, the amount of military police presence. I mean, good Lord, they've gone after entire gangs with less force than that, Pastor Ernie. This is just, this is an abomination. abomination. That's all I can say without swearing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's really, over the years, I've known a number of FBI agents who were people of integrity. They were out there to do their job, and there's still some field officers out there. Most of the ones I knew are retired already, obvious reasons.
You could not have been there. You could not have been standing there holding an automatic weapon on a pregnant woman and a four-year-old. Come on,
no.
I know you. And most men couldn't have done that. They just wouldn't have been able to do it.
But today, today I'm so ashamed of those guys. I tell you, if I run into any of them, I will let them know just how ashamed I am of them. You know, they need to listen to that message I preached last week on the lesser magistrate, huh?
And I sure don't want to hear. I was just following orders. If I was given an order like that in Vietnam to do something totally reprehensible, I would have resigned, said, hey, arrest me, and I'm turning myself in. I will not do this, I will not obey that order.
Right. I would tell them that's...
And stood down.
That's exactly right. That order literally is an illegal order.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, I would have done the very same thing. I would have said no, and I would have told all my men, stand down, men. Don't do it, okay? And so... But anyhow, we're coming up to a break. Boy, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight.
A lot more, yeah. A lot more.
Free speech coming to an end in the 2024, warns Paul Craig. We'll pick that up on the other side, too. Actually, this is why this radio program is so important, because the opposition is trying in every way they can to stifle. They're really afraid. You see George Soros and all of them, they want to buy up all the radio stations they can and shut us down. Remember what they did to us in New York. And
so far he's spent $50 million trying to change America.
Right. So they're in a panic mode, and the panic mode is if Trump gets back in, we've got to be able to limit his powers on what he can do and live in his influence. So this is why people really need to support this radio program, because we have never compromised in 50 years. We've stood our ground. As long as we can pay our bills and stay on the air, we'll continue to do that. But I can tell you there's not many like us out there. There's just not. There's way too few. We really have communist competition. Our foes, the Communist Party, Democratic Communist Party, the enemies of America, they are very well funded. This is why we need the support of the people. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.